fall down 7 times, get up 8. And I always think of that because for all of the smart moves I've made, that, you know, I've made a lot that didn't turn out the way I hoped they would. And so when I first started my authorship career and I had my books and I thought, okay, I'm going to do some library talks. And that way I'm going to generate interest and I'm going to sell a lot of books. Because, you know, once they see what I have to offer you.
Welcome to the Daily Authors Podcast, a daily podcast all about books and the authors who gave them life. Each episode, your host interviews a new brilliant author as they reveal inside information about their incredible books and inspiring lives. Now, here's your host, Aaron Gendel.
Hey, Aaron Gendel here. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the Daily Authors Podcast. It means so, so much to me. And maybe you've been thinking about writing a book of your own. And if so, do not wait. The world is hurting and needs your help. It needs your book. I would love to help you on your journey to write your book. So simply email me at aaron@dailyauthors.com and I'd love to hear about your book idea. Now enjoy the show. All right. Thank you so much, Karen, for joining me on the Daily Authors Podcast. So excited today to talk to you about your book, Honor Your Health, How to Use Holistic Healing to Create a Life of Clarity, Comfort, and Connection. Thanks again, Karen, for joining me on the show.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
All right. Well, before we jump into your book, Karen, if you don't mind, would you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work and what you've got going on right now?
Sure. So I am a registered nurse. I'm a health coach. And that's my full-time job. I do health coaching all day. And I'm married. I have 2 grown children. I live in Maine. And I love books. I always have my whole life. I love reading. I love writing. And I love holistic health. And I thought, boy, it'd be great if I could kind of bring all these things I love together. And so I had written some novels in the past, but I thought, would it be great to write a book about holistic healing? And so
yeah, that is what I did. Awesome. Very cool. Sounds like you're helping a lot of people. Well, absolutely. Let's dive into your third book, Honor Your Health, and maybe you could just give us that high-level overview and talk a little bit more about what inspired you to write it.
Okay. So Honor Your Health is about remembering that you are the expert on you. And so we make a lot of healthcare decisions every day, and most of the time, you know, we're giving our power away to somebody else. And what I watched over 25 years as a registered nurse, I watched people, you know, kind of following all the rules, going to the doctor, taking their medicines, having their tests done, you know, getting the surgeries, and they were just getting sicker and sicker. Wow. And I thought, you know, there's got to be another way to do this. And so that's what sort of started me thinking. I'd gotten interested in holistic healing measures, and that's, you know, things like, probably everybody's heard of acupuncture, homeopathy, even crystal healing, things as simple as collage, which you might not think of as a therapeutic healing method, but it is. All these things are so accessible to people, and they never even think to use them, I don't think. Or if they do think, oh, gee, acupuncture might help me, they don't know how to get started finding somebody, a practitioner or whatever. So we spent a lot of time getting in our own way. And yeah. So I was hoping that with Honor Your Health, it would empower people to think, you know what, I can figure this out. You know, I know myself better than anyone else. And so that was part of it. And the other inspiration was that my mother was diagnosed with cancer, died very young. And she was one of those good patients that, you know, followed all the rules and did everything she was told. And they still didn't find out what was wrong with her until it was too late to do anything. And then when they did diagnose her, you know, the chemo that was ordered and other treatments really, in my opinion, is what wound up killing her rather than saving her life. And so all the years later as a nurse, I realized that people being diagnosed with the same kind of cancer my mother had 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we're still telling them to do the same things that didn't help her. They didn't help then, and they don't help now. So people don't know, and they need to know, that there are a lot of other ways to approach healing.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you, and had a similar experience myself, and
my journey to heal myself from a chronic disease that used just holistic, eating, right? And, you know, some mindset changes, some stress relieving things. I really believe in this myself for sure. Would you mind just maybe going into one particular holistic healing method or particular section of the book you really feel inspired to share today or that the listener might get the most out of?
Sure. So when I was, before I was a nurse, I'd had my first child. He was a few months old, and I had been having some trouble with pain in my hand. So it hurt to turn a doorknob. It hurt to turn a key.
Yeah.
It was getting increasingly harder and more painful to manage this. And so I went to my doctor, who sent me to an orthopedist, and the orthopedic doctor told me I needed surgery and I had this particular kind of tendonitis and that was the only cure for it. And so I'm sitting there with, you know, my infant in his pack on my body. I'm like, I work full time. I'm a new baby. You know, I can't have my wrist cut up, you know, and be laid up for however long it takes. And that was for me the first time in my life I started thinking, you know, what if there's another way? And the reason I picked this example is I started to think, I knew a little bit about acupuncture. I thought that might help me, but I was terrified of needles. I always had been.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as soon as I thought acupuncture might help me, and I really think our bodies tell us what they need. So my body was telling me what would heal it. And then I tried to tamp that down and, you know, came up with 100 reasons why, no, that wouldn't work for me. And then instead, you know, I kind of was desperate. I was at a point where I really needed to try something else if I didn't want a surgery. And I thought, okay, well, you know, what if this could work? How could I make this work? Like, how could I get started finding out if this could help me? And as soon as I changed, and you talked about mindset, as soon as I changed from I can't do that to what if I could, how could I make it happen? Everything fell into place. Somebody was referred to me. One of my obstacles was I have a baby. You know, what am I going to do with the baby when I go to acupuncture? And she's like, oh, bring him. You know, we can put him under the table. And we did. And he was silent through the whole session. And very conducive. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't have any money. I was going to school at the time. Acupuncture is expensive. I'll charge you on a sliding scale. It's okay. I always do that for people, you know, students and just come. And so every single obstacle I had created just sort of fell away once I let myself get on the path of healing, right? Instead of staying on the medical model of fear is how I think of it now, fear-based medicine. So if, you know, if anybody has any kind of a health issue that they're dealing with, or really even any issue in life, doesn't have to be your physical health. It can be your relationship health. It can be the health of your career. You know, stop and really check in and ask your intuition or your gut, or, you know, people have different ways of referring to it. You know, what should I do next? You don't have to see the whole road, you know, just what should I do next? And then shut up and listen. You can probably tell I'm a talker. That's the hardest thing for me, to just take a breath and stop. Stop the stories going in my head. Stop the what if thing and just, you know, what could I do next that would be helpful? And, you know, the answer will come.
Awesome. Very inspiring. I love the story. And again, so did you, after the acupuncture, just curious, did it all make it
heal me?
Was it all better?
Absolutely. That? Absolutely. It resolved it 100%. And over the course of my life, I've had two other issues that I did turn to acupuncture to heal. And it did work in both of those other instances. And they were different practitioners. You know, I lived someplace different. Everything was different. But I still said, okay, you know, how am I going to find somebody? But once you decide, right? Once you make the decision, that's when things can really start to show up for you that won't when you're caught in the anxiety, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And that's been my experience.
Yeah, once you kind of feel like you believe that there is a solution, your mind kind of opens up to the possibility and finds a way, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Could you tell us how long did it take you with what you were experiencing to actually heal? Like what was the process like?
So it was many years ago. I don't remember exactly how long it took, but I'm going to say, I think it's fair to say within about 3 months, it had completely resolved. And, you know, I wasn't going every day. You know, yeah. I might go once a week or every other week. And I know that the visits did taper off as I started feeling better. But it definitely had a beginning and an end. This wasn't one of those things like, here, take this pill for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
This was, okay, yes, I can help you. And it might take, you know, here's a ballpark, how long it's going to take. And we have a beginning and an end. And then at the end, you're healed. That is exactly what happened.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's a good
I know question. That there's got to be a lot of people out there with those kinds of things. I know even recently, I started to get some pain in between my fingers that just, I don't know, from being on the computer too much or what, but... So yeah, I'll have to give it a shot myself.
Yeah, I found it really helpful for orthopedic things, and finding a healthcare, any alternative, you know, so to speak, healthcare practitioner, it can be a little like dating. So you know, if you meet the first one and it doesn't resonate, don't say, "Oh, this acupuncture, it's not for me." You know, it's that practitioner you didn't connect with, and give yourself a little time to find the right person.
Great advice.
So yeah.
Well, Karen, one other question about your book. I wanted to make sure listeners really knew what, you know, like boil it down for us, I guess, if there was one thing that they could take away from it, from reading it or just from hearing from you, what that one thing would be they'd get out of it.
What you will get out of it is permission to take back your power with regard to your health. Recognize yourself as the expert on you. And any healthcare practitioner you hire, you're hiring them just like you hire a plumber. You know, you want their expertise, you want their opinion, but then check in with yourself. You're the expert on you. Does this make sense for you? You don't have to do what you're told. You are not a sheep. You are gathering information, and then you have, you know, you almost always, there are very few situations that are emergency situations where you really have to decide right then what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Almost everything else, take all the information you're given and then go home and say, thank you. I'm going to go think this over. Particularly cancer patients, you know, you get a cancer diagnosis and before you leave the office, probably you're booked for chemo, maybe radiation, the surgery is scheduled and here's the medicine, you know, 15 prescriptions. It doesn't even come up, you know, do I want to do this a lot of the time? And maybe you don't. Once you really ask the questions, maybe you don't.
Right.
So you have the power. Take it back. Stop giving it away. And there's a lot of things in the book. I tried to tell it like in stories about different healing modalities. So, you know, depending on how advanced you are and how much you know about holistic healing, this is to get you started to get on your path with what's right for you. So there are so many different ways to heal. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list. Even after I wrote the book, I found out about new healing methods I had never heard of prior to this. So seriously, right? So it's so exciting. You're always learning. And what is great about holistic healing methods, besides putting the power back in your hands, is a lot of them don't cost much or are free, like meditative therapies and affirmations and things that can really go a long way towards calming your stress and your anxiety, which is huge with any kind of a health issue. You know, the first thing that happens is, you know, my gosh, you know, what if? So there are so many things you can try for free or very little cost to find out if this is going to help you or not. And that's not necessarily true with conventional medicine.
Awesome. Well, I love your message. I totally, I'm on board with it because, I think it's so powerful. And maybe people just needed to hear this today to feel like they needed permission to take some time for themselves. So I really appreciate you sharing it with us today, Karen. Well, I wanted to ask a little bit more about you, Karen, and what
Thanks
your
for listening to the Daily Authors podcast. Be sure to visit dailyauthors.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our
yours.
Fantastic and bonus content.
Thank you.
You know.
And so I wanted to make sure the listeners knew, you know, who influenced you to be who you are today and to write a book.
So I have been thinking about this lately, actually, because I've been thinking about mentors and being one and who were my mentors. And I have to say, I had a hard time thinking of any, which is, you know, kind of terrible. And I thought there's going to be some like big influence that I'm missing or forgetting, although how could that be, right? But then, and actually it's only just occurring to me right now that probably the biggest influencers on my life are the authors of the books that I've read. Because when I'm in trouble, or if I have a problem, or I just want to figure out how to do something, I turn to books, and I always have my whole life. So really, I've had a lot of very lofty teachers like Einstein and Eleanor Roosevelt and, more local inspiratory people are Dr. Christiane Northrup. She's from Maine. And when I first came across her books, I was like, oh, I'm from Maine and she's from Maine and she's a physician, she's in healthcare and she's thinking about health the way that I'm thinking about health. And that's sort of, you know, I guess she gave me permission as a nurse, right? Now that kind of making all these connections, just having this conversation with you, and that's how it happens, right?
Yeah.
You know, she gave me permission to say, well, I can still be a nurse and know all that I know and say that's good in some instances, but in a lot, it isn't, particularly with chronic health issues. There's another way. So that sort of opened the door for me with regard to feeling okay about speaking up about it, because it isn't necessarily a popular opinion in among, you know, nurses at large to think this way. So yeah, I guess authors of the books that I've read have been my biggest influences.
Amazing. Yeah, well, it just shows the power of books, right? And I'm sure people will be saying that about your book down the line here as well. So very cool. Well, let's talk real quick about a failure, because I believe those are a lot of times where we learn the most, and wondered if you might share an event or what you might consider a failure that you've learned from and, you know, help us as today get something maybe out of it.
Yeah, so many to choose from. So there's a quote, fall down 7 times, get up 8. And I always think of that because for all of the smart moves I've made, I've made a lot that didn't turn out the way I hoped they would. And so when I first started my authorship career and I had my books and I thought, okay, I'm going to do some library talks, and that way I'm going to generate interest and I'm going to sell a lot of books because, you know, once they see what I have to offer here. And so I discovered that quite often people who come to library talks, library goers are not book buyers necessarily, they're book borrowers. And I spent a lot of time scheduling these kinds of talks thinking, you know, oh, I'll keep doing them and I'll get a different outcome. But no. So for like 2 years, I'm embarrassed to admit, I just kept scheduling different library talks. And they were, you know, might have been pretty well attended. Some of them I had fair sized audiences, but I don't sell any books that way. So in a way, those were failures because I kept, you know, definition of insanity, kept doing the same thing, hoping to get different results. But like any failure, right, you can turn it into a win. And so after all that time went by, it occurred to me that I can still do these talks, but I need to offer something different and or deliver them in a different way or whatever. And so that just inspired a whole different approach. And so I guess that's the message with failures, right? Don't beat yourself up, because if you're not making mistakes and failing, then you're not trying. And, I didn't, absolutely. I think it might be Jack Canfield in his 10 Success Principles book, you know, ask the girl out to lunch and she might say no, but you're no worse off if she says no, because you didn't have a lunch date before you asked her and you don't have one now. Yeah. So you're still at ground zero, right? You haven't lost anything. So I think of that a lot, and when I need to buck myself up in certain instances, like, well, you know, really, it didn't work out how I thought, but you know, it's okay. And I'll just try something different next time. I hope that answered. Did that answer?
Yeah, no, that was well said, Karen. Thank you. Well, you already mentioned a quote, but if you'd like to share another, I'd love to hear it. Any favorite quote that you have that inspires you often?
Absolutely. My favorite quote is, "You must do the thing you think you cannot do."
Haha, good one.
Eleanor Roosevelt. And because if you don't, you're going to arrive at a point in your life and think and realize, maybe I'm older than some people who will be listening, but you'll get to a point and realize, you know what? There isn't a whole lot of time left to do these things that I was afraid of doing. And what if I had done even one of them? And the reason this is my big inspiring quote is that I've been writing since I was like 10 years old, but I never wanted anyone to see my writing. I was like any artist, right? So we're squeamish maybe, I don't know, about showing people what we've created.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't until, and this is a very long story, but I'll make it short, I decided to be brave. And the scariest thing for me at that time in my life was to let anyone look at my writing. And I did. I took the chance and I let somebody read the first couple of chapters of one of my books. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have 3 published books now. So that had a really meaningful effect, that quote, in my life and all of the people that I've met because of the books that I published, because I let somebody read my writing that day. So the thing you're the most afraid of is, you know, and other people have said this and I've learned that I think it's true. The thing you're the most afraid of is probably the exact thing that you should be doing. The thing you're running away from is probably the thing you should be jumping in with those feet.
Yeah. Very cool. Great message. And yeah, absolutely agree. Thank you for sharing that message on and around fear and doubt, because you covered my next question, which is around fear and doubt, which is great. So we'll skip over that one, but to jump into the book writing process next and see if you might share any tips or tricks or things that you wish you had known maybe before you started writing books that you know now.
Yes. So my biggest tip for book writing, for me, structure is important. Structure is my friend, and it's probably yours too when it comes to writing books. And so I have discovered a tool, it's free, and I don't know if you've heard of it before, National Novel Writing Month, and there is a website, NaNoWriMo.org, and every year in November, so we're in the middle of it right now, thousands of brave souls commit to writing the first draft of their novel in a month, or it can be any book, but novel writing month. So, I have discovered that you can use that as a tool to get the first draft of your book written. It can be done. I've done it every year since 2010, except last year I took a year off, but I have 10 drafts of books. 3 of them are published that I would not have if I didn't commit to that process. And you know, you're not, you know, writers, we can be miserable and alone at our desk, right? You know, Rhymo is a giant community and Facebook groups, there's local groups. You won't even believe how connected you can be to other writers if you want to. NaNoWriMo.org. It's not too late to join, but for this year, it would be a little bit hard, but you could still do it. You could still finish. so that's my best tip. And I wish I knew about what I wish I knew about writing or what I wish I knew about book publishing.
Yeah, the writing process and publishing, all that, marketing, anything.
So what I wish I knew is that it's all important and it all counts. So even if you spend a day and you look back and like, oh my gosh, this is such crap. I wasted the whole day. You did not waste your day, because that will somehow become a platform that's going to propel you to something else that you would not have thought of, or you couldn't have gotten to until you got all that other stuff out of the way. I've found that over and over again. And also, if you get any bit of inspiration about anything to write, and this will happen in the shower a lot, or in a dream, right? You just woke up and you think, I'm going to remember it. You will never remember it. Never. Go write it down. Get the voice notes on your phone and speak it into that, because some of your best ideas, you can capture them that way. So I've learned that over the years. That's really really good tip. Write it down. I even keep a pen and an index card in my bathroom now. So like an idea in the middle of the night, I don't have to wake everybody up. I can just write it down, go back to sleep. And
that's so great.
It'll help me a lot. Yeah.
All right. Great tips. Appreciate it. Sure. What about writer's block? Could you speak to that at all? Have you experienced that, and what helped you with writer's block?
Not really. Not writer's block in that, you know, I sit down and I have nothing to say because I always have something to say. But if I'm like having trouble finding words for whatever project I'm working on, I'll just start typing. And, you know, hey, yeah, I'm hanging out here and boy, I really wish I could think of something good. And almost like automatic writing, which is a holistic healing method. If you just start writing, again, just kind of clear out all that jumble, other things start to show up that maybe you didn't expect. So that happens for me. And another tip, and this isn't, you know, specific to me, but not sitting down to stare at a blank page can be really helpful. So when I'm winding up my writing for the day, I always try to set my next day up with, now talk about this, or whatever, wherever it's going to go. Like, people say, oh, I still have ideas, I have to keep going. It's actually better, I think, to stop. Wow. Put the idea, and then you can jump right in. You have something to talk about the next time you go to it.
Ah, great one. Love that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I wanted to finish the book writing questions with what you feel has been the very best part of being an author and publishing a book to you, Karen.
The people that I've met that I know that have become great friends and inspiration that I would never have met. And all the people that I've helped I would never even know them, and people that have helped me. So it's really a reciprocal, it's the gift that keeps on giving when you take that brave step.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Sharon. Yeah. Well, I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. So if there's anything else at all you'd like to share, or if there was a question that you would have asked yourself if you were in my shoes, what would that be?
I don't know if it's a question, but I would say that it's really easy to beat yourself up when you're trying to be creative at all. And it's really easy to stop because somebody criticized what you wrote, or you know, you're spending a lot of time on that, or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, you deserve to have time for you and your creative pursuits. And if you don't make that time, no one's going to make it for you. And I wish that we all remember that. And I think a lot of years go by when you're really busy and you don't, but, you know, any minute you can change that. And say, hey, I'm going to spend 5 minutes whatever it is today. And 5 minutes is enough to write. You can write a lot in 5 minutes, even though it doesn't sound like much. I wrote the first draft of my first book in 15-minute increments in the car with a notebook before I went into my day job. I was just, okay. You know, and I would just furiously write until I had to go in. And other authors have done that. And Maeve Binchy comes to mind. And they just, you know, wrote whenever they had time, here and there. And you can really do magnificent things in just a few minutes a day. I guess I wish I knew that sooner, and I wish everybody knew it now. So I'm sorry if that, now I forget your question. I hope that spoke.
Yeah, you answered it. Great.
Sorry.
Great response. I was just asking if there was anything else you'd like to share. And so I appreciate that extra bit of encouragement and tips for the listeners. Great stuff. Well, I wanted to finish up with where the listeners could connect with you online, and maybe a little more about what you're up to next, Karen.
Okay, so online, KarenCreamer.com, and if you're interested in finding out a little bit more about holistic healing, there's a free gift. You can download a PDF, how to create your own sort of basic holistic home health kit to just kind of start the ball rolling at home, get familiar with some different things. And I have some online courses. You can find them on my website. And oh, I interview one woman so far every month about something brave they've done in their own life on my website. So there's a section, the Brave Interviews, and there's been not necessarily every month, but several over the past couple of years. There's dozens of interviews. And
great.
Regular people just like you doing brave things in their lives. And then there's another section on holistic practitioner interviews. And so I thought, you know, it might help people who don't know a lot about acupuncture to see an interview by someone who's an acupuncturist and let her talk about what she does and how she does it. So all the different modalities. That one's newer, so there aren't as many up there. But so I'm working on adding more interviews. Email me at Karen@KarenPina.com if you want to be in either interview series. Low stress, email only, no deadline. So all about no stress. And I'm working on my next book because it's National Novel Writing Month, and I am 12,000 words into my first draft. So
nice.
I really love that.
Wow. Very cool. So yeah, everybody can follow you at KarenKramer.com. You can get all the all the
information. Link to my Facebook, link to my Instagram. Yeah, everything.
Perfect. There. Well, it sounds like you're just on an amazing mission, and really appreciate you being on my show, spending your time, and just been an absolute pleasure to have you, Karen. Appreciate
awesome
it.
Here. Thank you.